When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday. Of course, Norwich City in cup action this Saturday. We'll be talking a little bit about that in fairly short order. But of course, it's January. The transfer window is open. It's been open for 9 days so far. Norwich been relatively busy, you'd have to say. And obviously, a couple of exits at the Carrow Road door in Christian Fashnacht and Ashley Barnes. We've seen a couple of loans recalled yesterday as well. Of course, Lewis Dobbin arrived. We saw him play a little bit of football in that pretty dramatic win over Paddy side Coventry there last Saturday. But there's still plenty of other rumours to unpack. So in the sort of next 45 minutes or so, we'll be trying to work our way through all of those. We want your comments, questions, whatever it might be around anything transfer related. Of course, we'll do a little bit of a subsection on Brighton as well at the end. So any sort of score predictions, get them in down below. Paddy, I suppose, probably the place to start. And I've seen a few people mention it already in the comments there. Mate Jurasek, obviously, it's been a bit of an ongoing saga since the start of the window. We've seen sort of fresh reports saying Norwich City put a bid in, or were about to put a bid in earlier on in this week. I mean, what's the latest? Where are we at with that at the moment?
Well, basically, Adam, as you were, really. I mean, we've kind of, I think, framed it now for the last, trying to think, what was the festive game where the sort of the initial reports were that he was en route to Norwich, which was obviously premature at the time. I'm going to say it was the Millwall game, might have been QPR. But anyway, since that point, I think we've been fairly consistent, and the situation is unchanged in terms of a lot of recruitment work has gone in to identify this character. As it did previously in the summer under Napper and Neil Adams and Lee Dunn and all the other recruitment types, in conjunction with Johannes, obviously, and Glenn and the coaching staff. So anyway, a huge body of work's gone in. This player has clearly reached to the top of the level where they actually wanted to pursue a deal in this window, this January window. So obviously then it's the usual dance with player representatives, parent club, and... from what we're led to believe, player and representatives, no issue at all. I think there'd be an agreement fairly swiftly in place with them, if not already in place. So really, it's about getting on the same page as Slavia. I think the sort of indication that I was given was Norwich initially were around €4 million plus a series of add-ons. So a package that could have led to, clearly tied to the players coming in and hitting certain performance-related things, and obviously the team as well and the club. But that wasn't really where Slavia were at. I think the suggestion was maybe that they were initially looking at something in the €8 million. So clearly there's a huge differential there. But as it was told to me, that although it was you'll need to raise your game in terms of the feedback to Norwich, it was delivered in a way that, look, we're of an opinion that there could be a deal to be made here. And that sort of negotiation process is still ongoing. Anybody who maybe hasn't seen Slavia on a midwinter break, their league domestically is shut down. I think their next game is actually in one of the European competitions. I just had a look there about an hour ago. I think it's the 23rd of Jan. Currently, they've just flown out there. It's good work if you can get it. They've gone down to Marbella for a 2-week training camp, He is part of that. So he's currently with Slavia, which for me tells you it hasn't progressed to a point where the clubs are on the same page and the player has, you know, been released maybe to come to Norfolk and finalise terms. So that in itself is a good indication. Interestingly, I've just had a check and they're playing a couple of friendlies down in Marbella. The first one is against Ante Cernac's previous team in Poland. I'm not going to have a stab at pronouncing it. Czestochowa, I think, was the second part of it. But anyway, that's the 15th of Jan. So we're only sort of five, six days away from that. So again, in terms of just keep an eye on that, see if he's involved in that game next week. If he is, then that tells you that it's still ongoing. But the bottom line in all of this is I think Norwich are reasonably confident that they will be able to get to a point. What I would say as well, and it is relevant, is that Slavia have just sold a keeper to Tottenham. Anton and Kinski, who actually played in their Carabao Cup semi-final against Liverpool last night, didn't they? And the reported figure around that was £12.5 million. It's the most for a Czech keeper ever, bearing in mind Petr Cech went to Chelsea back in the day. So they've basically banked quite a considerable amount of money. For me, that would say that Slavia aren't really in an urgent need to try and then cash in on Jurasek. So I think that does flow into it a little bit. They've gone out subsequently and apparently bought or agreed to buy a domestic striker for, again, I've seen the reports of about £2-2.5 million. So, you know, they're trying to do their business. And I guess it's just a case of right now reaching that sweet spot between where Norwich were initially, where Slavia initially had their valuation. But again, to reiterate, I think the messaging that came back from Slavia, while it was, that's not good enough for us in terms of a ballpark figure, but, you know, it wouldn't take a huge lift. Certainly Norwich won't have to go up to 8 million. And if they had to go up to 8 million, this deal wouldn't happen. That's certainly not where Norwich are pitching this potential deal. But could you see something in a 5 or 6 million euro bracket with the attendant clauses? I think you probably could. So, you know, and as we know, you know, the player isn't a regular starter. He's highly rated, but isn't a frontline option for Slavia. And that, to me, tells me there is a deal to be done. So that's where we are, Adam. It's kind of still in a holding pattern, effectively.
Yeah, Jeffman slightly concerned where Samuel Seaman is. We'll bring him in now. We've not sold him. He is still part of the team.
We'd buy him.
Yeah, well, so
that's harsh on that one, but I'm glad to
what time do you call this your timekeeping.
To be fair, I have been waiting for a while. Adam was politely waiting for you to finish your answer, but no, I did to be fair, I went a bit over time on the lunch, so yeah, my apologies, but I'm glad to have eased Jeffman's fears.
Yeah, and Sam, you've probably heard there, you know, part of Paddy's answer, you know, about where Norwich are at currently on the hunt for Mate Jurasek. I mean, do you think Norwich are willing to be patient to see this deal through? Obviously, you'd imagine the amount of legwork that's gone into this, the amount of scouting, you know, the amount of work they'd have done to get to this point with this player. It doesn't feel like one of those deals that they'll just give up on if, you know, it gets to a point where there's pretty minimal sort of details between, you know, the fee that Slavia want and Norwich can potentially, you know, go up to.
No, definitely. And I think there are a few reasons that hint at that. Obviously, we've seen before that Ben Napper is willing to be very patient over certain players. We saw with Callum Doyle in the summer. It was basically at a point where a deal had been agreed. And then for what felt like weeks, Norwich were waiting for him to return from that American preseason camp. And obviously, when Napper identifies someone who he feels is the right player, that's the person he really wants to get. And as you said, they will have done so much legwork. Obviously, a lot of negotiation has gone on already. And yeah, I think they will take their time if needs be. Obviously, I'm sure they'd rather get him in as early as possible. But I think what you also have to consider is the fact that Johannes Hoftorup has, over the last few weeks, been talking about the fact that maybe they would sign someone who they expect to be a success for them over the long term, rather than specifically in the short term. And when you look at all the factors going into it with Jurasek, I think you have to assume he's that type of player. Obviously, Paddy mentioned the fact that it's a winter break in Czech at the moment and in that league. And so you'd expect he maybe won't be perfectly match fit. He also hasn't played loads of games for them this season. Also, the fact that he has to adapt to a new league and everything really around him suggests that this is a signing that, if Norwich can complete it, would be done for the long term. So yeah, when you consider that, I think it would be quite strange for them to pull the plug because it was taking too long. And, you know, as I've said, this is a long-term project. This is something that Napa wants to do where he's getting the right person rather than just the quickest person through the door. That's something that Torup has echoed as well. And for all of those reasons, I wouldn't worry too much that the time is going to be a factor. Obviously, they'd much rather get him in this window. And that's probably the important thing. But when you look at how long we've got left and how quickly transfers and deals can accelerate, I think if this deal doesn't happen, then it won't be time that stops that.
Exactly. Paddy, with, you know, you're a second, we've seen obviously Ashley Barnes depart. A few people maybe on socials and bits you hear around concerns maybe that Norwich aren't physically going to sign a direct replacement, but you speak to people internally, you speak to Torup, it's pretty evident that they see the likes of Jurasek and Dobbin as options in those attacking areas. So do you feel that they've gone a little bit light in not going for a direct replacement, or does Jurasek have the potential to kind of be one of those frontline options, I suppose, if Norwich did get desperate in the future?
Well, I mean, that's clearly how they're viewing it, and they're obviously the ones who matter, himself and Ben. I mean, Ben Napper, again, I've said it a few times, anybody who was in attendance, as we were at the AGM, can't remember if it was the formal business or it was the Q&As at the end, but he was very clear that Antti Cernak is a striker. It's not he's a wide player filling in as a striker. No, they see him mid to longer term, as Sam referred to with Jurasek, which underpins pretty much all of their recruitment moving forward now, bar maybe the Marcondes deal, you could say that was the outlier. But most of the summer business, and any business they do this window and moving forward, will be with the mid to longer term objectives. And with Cernak, he is a striker. That's how they see him. That's his profile. Now, clearly, you know, he's been thrust in the deep end because of the Sargent injury and Barnes not being available really until those few cameos around the festive period prior to him leaving for Burnley. But and he wasn't ready. It was obvious, you know, but you take out that Luton and Plymouth week when he scored 3 goals in 2 games. Bar is opening goal back at Stoke when he was playing in the wider area. He hasn't produced. And that tells you that, you know, he is a work in progress, but they still believe. And Johannes was good around that period, just before he sort of had that little burst where he said, look, we want more from him in the here and now, but I've got absolutely no doubts that he will deliver what we felt was worth going and committing quite a considerable sum for Norwich last summer. But that will take time. And I guess really in this here and now, it's all about Josh Sargent, isn't it? Who hopefully, I mean, we'll speak to Johannes tomorrow. That's when he does his pre-Brighton presser. But the plan was at the start of the week, if Josh returns to team training, has no adverse reaction as we go through this week, he'll get some minutes on Saturday. And then that will then build him into the not inconsiderable prospect of Sheffield United and Leeds back-to-back away from home when they resume in the Championship. And as a result, I think, I mean, Johannes' own words, he's like a new signing for us. That's how he labelled him after the game on Saturday. So that's clearly how they see it. And I think that does, you know, at a stroke, put a line through anybody who's out there hoping that, you know, post-Barnes, they'll go out and bring in a 9, if you want to put a label on it, an out-and-out striker. That's not going to happen. Absolutely no chance of that. So, yeah, I think players like Dobbin, players like potentially Jurasek, in and around what they've already got in the building, are there to effectively support Josh Sargent. Now, of course, and we might get some questions on this point, he's coming back, Josh Sargent, from another fairly lengthy injury period. He's missed 14 league games this season. Very similar. Last season, he was out for 4 months. You know, will his body hold up? Will he be able to give Norwich a full second period of the season? As he did last season, to be fair, until he broke down towards the end of those playoff games. But that feels to be where they're going. You know, that it's going to be Josh Sargent and then try and support him as best they can with the options in the building and maybe a Jurasek-type signing between now and the end of Jan.
Yeah, we'll stay on the theme of incomings, but not directly an incoming because he's already in the building, Sam. And it's Ben Slimani. I mean, it's been pretty evident in the last week and pretty public now that Norwich are keen to exercise the permanent option they have on him. Of course, they had that option there for next summer. Going to be in and around the 1.2 million mark. Obviously, is out injured at the moment and suffered a little bit with injuries throughout. But this one's a little bit different in the, you know, it's not kind of those issues that were sort of causing him problems at the start of the campaign. And what we've seen of him, and certainly around the sort of pre-festive period, I felt he was really starting to come into his own. At that sort of price for the level of quality he has, feels like a good deal on paper. So, I mean, your feelings, your thoughts on that situation?
Yeah, I think it makes sense in terms of logistically. Actually, Connor wrote an article that I'd recommend people go and read about some of the benefits of it and why it makes sense for Norwich. And I think for him, it gives him clarity over his future. Obviously, he's come to England for the first time, had a season at Sheffield United where, again, he struggled with injuries. And obviously, as a team, they were pretty poor. Then he's come to Norwich on loan and he doesn't know whether that permanent option is going to be taken up. And he's sort of having to almost put his life on pause while he's just focusing on the very short term. So for him, I think it gives him a lot of clarity. And as we keep talking about, the long term is the most important thing for Norwich at the moment. And if you've got someone there who you feel is going to be part of the bigger picture, then you want them to be settled and you want them to be looking at that rather than just almost looking from game to game at which club they're going to be at in the summer. I can understand some people's concerns, though, because there have been the injury issues. And even though this latest one, as you mentioned, is slightly different, it is something where you feel Norwich could almost benefit from still taking the next few months and sort of assessing things and seeing whether he does improve fitness-wise. But it's also probably important to mention that actually there were certain clauses in this deal that meant it would become permanent anyway. So obviously we don't know the exact details of that, but it could be that Norwich weren't too far off triggering some of those clauses, and actually this saves them the hassle of almost considering that. So there are reasons why I can see why people are wondering almost what the point is for Norwich at this stage. But I do understand the benefits, and especially within the broader context of what Norwich are trying to do. I think one thing is for sure, and that's that he's proven he is good enough for this team. I think we've all seen in his performances that he can be quite a good asset to Norwich. And even if he doesn't look like somebody who maybe is going to be a sort of star player or somebody who they're going to sell for 30 or 40 million in the future, I think at this level especially, he's definitely a good buy for 1.2 million. And that probably plays into things a little bit as well. I actually mentioned it, I think, on the last podcast, that if you buy someone for 1.2 million, and even if they do end up only playing 20 or 25 games a season, which obviously isn't the aim, then I don't think that's too bad a deal for somebody who shows the amount of quality that he has in a Norwich shirt. So yeah, all round, I think it makes sense. Obviously, it feels a little bit strange, and there are certain things that maybe will require a little bit of clarity when we speak to Johannes Hoftorup. But yeah, overall, I think it makes sense in the bigger picture.
Yeah, been pretty clear the Sheffield United end as well. Chris Wilder put out a few quotes, which you can read on our channels now as well, kind of about the situation. He expects it to reach a conclusion pretty shortly. Paddy, I mean, I can't remember when it was now, one of the pre-match press conferences about a month or so back was speaking around a defensive midfielder and maybe that being an area that he felt needs addressing. I mean, Tom asking the question here, any names linked to the CDM role we're after? I mean, there's been a little bit of a shift in that it doesn't really feel like that's going to be a certain position that Norwich go and target in this window. Do you think that's fair to say?
I think that's pretty spot on, yeah. I mean, he did say those quotes and, you know, that was probably at a point, if you track back, where they'd had some pretty challenging games, you know, with the likes of McLean unavailable, Nunes was out for a period of time, Sorensen was in and out, Slimani, prior to this sort of ankle ligament issue, we know he was managing his sort of hamstring related issues. So in that context, you know, it was clear that they maybe do need something a bit different. But I don't, everything we've heard subsequently wouldn't suggest that is, that, well, put it this way, there isn't a huge amount of body of recruitment work. It was in told to me over one of the games over Christmas, it is going into sourcing six/CDM in this January window. So as opposed to the Eurosec, the Dobbin type deals, those areas of the squad. So that tells me that if the groundwork hasn't been laid for this month, even the goalkeeper situation, which also feels like it's maybe going to tick onto the back burner and be one to look at for the summer, I would put this in the same bracket as well. Things can change, clearly. You know, there will be players that they have maybe looked at in terms of more broader recruitment and scouting analysis, but nothing that's going on behind the scenes right now is prioritising a CDM or a six. So I think that's probably just Johannes, again, mid to longer term, looking at his midfield options. We know the type of style of football he wants to play. We know the type of profile of midfielder he wants to be able to progress the ball. And he's got three or four of those now, you would say, in Marcondes, Slimani, Nunes and McLean. But could you have something a bit different? Could there be some variety you could add into that for what is, as we know, a very difficult on occasion championship season where you go to opponents who won't let you maybe try and play that style of football? I'm thinking QPR away. I'm thinking the Portsmouth game. Those two spring readily to mind. And do you need something else a little bit different? Is that part of the learning curve that Johannes has gone on with Glenn and kind of adapting to, okay, I thought I had a good experience of what the championship's about, but I'm in it now. I'm living it. I've had 20, 25 games. And I'm sure that will have aided his own perspective on what he needs, you know, what type of players he needs to get to the successful style of football that he wants to bring in. And we've seen plenty of examples now. He is very pragmatic. He's not wedded to, we will play a certain way all the time. Doesn't matter what the opponent's doing. Successful or not in the interim, we will stick with it. No, he's far more pragmatic than that. And I would see this in terms of looking at a different profile of midfielder within that pragmatism. But unless it changes dramatically, not for this window, no.
There we go. There's the answer to that one, Tom. Peaky saying, is there anything in us moving the spending forward for FFP reasons or accounts? That's obviously around Slimani. Sam, is there any benefit of that?
Honestly, I'd have to go and probably ask some sort of expert on it. But I think the last we checked, they were pretty secure in terms of those accounts and the FFP or profit and sustainability rules. So I'd be surprised if they were in a situation where they really needed to be moving things around for the sake of 1.2 million in those accounts. Of course, there could be things changing and things that we don't know about behind the scenes. But yeah, last we heard, they were pretty safe within those and pretty secure within those. So I'd be surprised, to be honest. But yeah, obviously, a lot of things are possible and you probably have to ask an expert who would be very open and very candid about the situation at the moment. But yeah, for the sake of 1.2 million, I would be a little bit surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, let's move the attention forward to potential outgoings, I suppose, in January, but maybe not this one directly in January. But Marcelino Nunez is an interesting one, Paddy, because he's out of contract in 2026. We've obviously seen the report, which I think we quickly quashed and squashed in terms of the bid from Everton for around £7 million. What's the situation with him and his contract at the moment? Because I know you got a little bit of an update this morning, because now going to be plenty of Norwich fans that will be concerned, because, you know, he's obviously performance levels are increasing. And I think we all know how crucial he's been over the sort of last calendar year for this team. So what's the situation with him at the moment?
Well, I mean, in black and white terms, he's a 2026. That's his contract right now. There's no option that I'm aware of. Certainly one that hasn't been publicised. So that is actually a mirror of Borja Sainz. And yeah, I'm just in the process of putting together some analysis this afternoon where I think he rather than Borja this summer, subject to no curveballs between now and the end of this month, I think he might be the transfer story. Because if he continues on this path, yes, there was that Everton link. I think it was more from the Chile end media-wise. Certainly nobody who matter inside Norwich received anything regarding a 7 million inquiry from Everton. So, but there was the Trabzon interest, which was firm from Turkey last summer, which got rebuffed because Norwich obviously made it clear that, you know, he was a player they valued. And I think that's only intensified now. Talked about it in the last section about the type of midfielders that Giannis clearly needs to play the system he wants to play. Well, for me, Nunes is the prototype. He's got the technical ability and also the athleticism and that box-to-box, the amount of kilometres he racks up every game. He is the complete midfielder in this current squad. But yet the reality is, we get to the summer, he's got 12 months left, and that's a difficult situation. So I do think that Nunes is the one to watch this summer rather than Sainz. I think Sainz will play out a lot more straightforward than Nunes, because, you know, the reality is there's a player there who may be absolutely tailor-made for Torop 2.0 next season. But if he's only got 12 months left and he continues on this path and has a real strong end to the season, then there will be interest. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's from the Premier League or you know, some top leagues in Europe. So what does Marcelino want and his advisors? You know, do they look at... I mean, he came in with Gabi Zara. He's seen Zara now go on and play for a major club in Turkey, and he's playing in European grade football. And that feels like a good stepping stone maybe to an even bigger club and an even bigger league. Does he look at that and feel maybe, because by the summer that'll have been 3 years in England, is that enough body of time in the Championship? He might feel that is the case. So a lot of strands there to pull together. But as we sit here this afternoon, there's no active contract talks. I get the sense from the club that it's almost we'll get to the summer and then they'll really look to, you know, do something definitive in one direction or the other. So that's a slight concern, but you can understand certainly in an open window as we are now, contract talks for existing players. And as we sit here, he's still got 18 months left. So it isn't urgent in that sense that you do something now in January. So I could see it being on the back burner in the here and now, but you would hope. And then we had those quotes from Johannes, Connor worked them up, which underline that it feels like Nunes is a key figure in what he's trying to do here. Why wouldn't you want to keep that player? So you would hope that once this window closes, maybe then Ben Napper and the people who matter can start to prioritise getting Nunes tied down. Because for me, if he goes in the summer, you've got a major task on trying to replace him and find a player who is quite interwoven now in terms of off-ball for me. So, and that wouldn't be easy, certainly for the money that Norwich might have available. So surely it makes more sense to try and convince the player that his future in the shorter term, at least, lies at Carrow Road. So, but as I say, you know, without, you know, sitting down and speaking to Marcelino himself, he might look at it and think, well, I'm 12 months out. I'll see what interest there is out there. I'm going to hang fire. And then, you know, if there are clubs in leagues that he likes the look of, then it might come down to trying to drive the hardest bargain. So it's one to watch, but there's nothing definitive because there's nothing definitive happening with him at the minute. But I do fear that when we get to the summer, if that is unresolved and he hasn't signed a new deal and he's got 12 months left and he's had a good second half to the season, they may struggle to keep hold of him.
Indeed. One player that is out of contract, though, this summer, Sam, Grant Hanley. I can see a few people here in the comments maybe asked about him. Any news on players leaving? Grant Hanley, of course, there. We've seen him linked to Sheffield United, Blackburn. I saw some links to Rangers as well surfacing this morning. So there's a few kind of clubs maybe that are being linked to him. Where are we at with him and his situation at the moment? Obviously, Torrup, I think, was one of the post-match games, after one of the ones around Christmas. He spoke quite openly about Hanley and the situation, said he's a player that, you know, he'd like to keep in and around the group from a selfish perspective, but the reality is not started a Championship game since that opening day at Oxford. Potentially opportunity for him on Saturday, but it feels more likely he'll be exiting the Carrow Road door if they can find a solution this January.
Yeah, I think we know the position from the Norwich end, and actually when I wrote that story about the reported interest from Sheffield United and Blackburn, I got those quotes from Torrup, and it was remarkable how similar they were to what he was saying about Ashley Barnes just a few days before he ended up leaving the club. So it's a similar situation in the sense that Norwich, if he can get a move, will probably sanction that move and will let him go. I think everyone can tell from the amount of minutes that he's had this season, he hasn't started in the league since that first day defeat to Oxford, that yeah, it's not the best situation for anyone there. Norwich aren't really getting much on the pitch out of somebody who is a pretty significant earner. Hanley is in the last few years of his career and I'm sure wants to be playing football. So for everyone, I think it would make sense if he could go and find a club. But right now, it doesn't sound like it's a similar situation to what it was with Barnes, maybe a week or so ago when he actually did have those clubs interested and there was a bit of an active situation there. From what we hear, it sounds like a lot of the rumour and a lot of the talk at the moment is more sort of agent talk and it's quite theoretical. I don't think Norwich have had much actual dialogue with clubs who are considering taking Hanley and who want to take him. So I'd be surprised if it's a deal that ends up happening over the next few days. But I think as we saw with Barnes, it can happen quite quickly. So if there is a club that wants to sign Grant Hanley, then it is a situation that Norwich, of course, would be very amenable to. It's just about now finding that club. And I think we've spoken a few times about which sorts of teams really would want to sign him, to be honest, because it feels like he hasn't done amazingly in the Championship this season. But in terms of his wages and the financial commitment that signing him would be, it's tough to see anyone at a lower level really being able to sign him. I suppose when you talk about sort of the Scottish clubs like Rangers, as you mentioned, it depends how they see the difference in level, because I'm sure there are a few people who would tell you that it's nowhere near the level of the Championship and that he wouldn't need to sort of be any better than he has been this season to shine there. But also, I'm sure behind the scenes at Rangers and Celtic, they probably feel a little bit more strongly about the quality of Scottish football, and they probably feel that they want somebody who at least would be able to perform at a pretty decent level in the Championship. So yeah, it's quite an interesting situation. It's one that's a little bit more difficult to see how it comes to a conclusion. I would say the amount of noise around it at the moment probably is a positive for Norwich, because he is someone who I'm sure they'd be happy to move on, and especially to get that financial commitment off the books. So yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting one to follow, but I don't really see it happening over the next few days, because right now it sounds like in terms of actual tangible communication and clubs who want to take him, there's not too much going on.
No, indeed. Yesterday, of course, Paddy, we had the news that Norwich have recalled a couple of their young players from their loan spells. There's a few people in the comments asking around Kennebo and his situation. Owen saying, do you think Kennebo will go back up on loan or stay as a backup? Kieran asking, any ideas where a Bo might end up on loan? Surprised he's not sticking around long-term as an option behind Sargent and Siernat. I mean, his situation, where are we at with that at the moment? Obviously, Norwich recalled him, lack of minutes at Stevenage, felt that he wasn't really progressing there in the way they'd hoped he would have done at the start of the season. So, expect him to go back out on loan by the end of the window?
Yeah, that's the plan, definitely, yeah. And in the interim, maybe just... because I don't think there is an actual club lined up at this stage of the window. So in the interim, opportunity for Johannes to sort of reintegrate him a little bit, train with the first team for a week or two. He's obviously been back playing development level, hasn't he? Played in that Premier League International Cup, scored that unbelievable goal. I think it was voted goal of the month, wasn't it? Did I see that in the last day or two? So, bicycle kick. But in the main, it's been a frustrating first 6 months for him. You know, clearly felt like he'd outgrown development football. But, you know, Stevenage didn't work out for him. This happens. We've seen it before. In contrast, Manny Adeboyega has gone to Dundee United and is pretty much playing every minute. And they're, you know, bar the Old Firm, they're bang up there at the top end of the Scottish Premiership. So what a great loan that's turned out to be. Brad Hills, League Two, Accrington, played 40, 45 games. I think he was their player of the year, came back, found himself pretty much now on the cusp of, certainly when Hanley does depart this month, a frontline squad option for Norwich. So that's the gamble with these loans and these loan placements. It hasn't worked at Stevenage. And so the plan is, yeah, bring it back, not with a view to, going back to the earlier discussion, a striking body. No, definitely not. It's getting back out on loan again. And I'm interested to see, you know, do they pitch him again at League One? Do they maybe look to drop him down to League Two? So that'll be an interesting one, because the reality is you don't want another 6 months in terms of a loan posting that mimic what he had at Stevenage, which was kicking his heels for the most part. That isn't going to aid his development. Particularly when it felt like, you know, with the right placement, he could maybe kick on this season and come back next summer and be one of those, like a Hills, maybe now with an Adeboyega next summer, who could be, well, actually, they're not that a million miles away from a match day 20. At this moment in time, that's certainly not going to be the case unless he goes out and does well somewhere.
Yeah, I mentioned there, City chat asking, what about Reyes? Sam obviously recalled yesterday, had a pretty positive, I'd say, maybe not in terms of Cambridge fans' opinions, but played quite a bit of football in sort of the opening 3 or 4 months of the season, made a couple of bad errors at Charlton and has basically been out of their matchday squad, well, been on the bench, but not been starting games for them ever since. Norwich have decided to recall him. What's the situation there? Are we expecting him to go back out on loan or one of those that they want to keep in the building to have a look at?
Yeah, it sounds like right now, Tony Roberts, the goalkeeping coach, who obviously hasn't had the opportunity to work with Reyes just yet, sounds like he wants to have a bit of a better look at him. So maybe a loan is less likely with him than it is with Aboe. I suppose if an unbelievable opportunity comes up for him, then you never know. But right now, it sounds like more one where they want him in the building. They want to have a closer look at him. And that is quite an interesting situation, actually, because obviously everyone knows about the sort of the goalkeeping situation with Gunn likely leaving the club this summer and Norwich needing to source a replacement. I don't see George Long becoming the number one. So then Reyes is in this sort of difficult position where does he stay and try to fight for a first team berth that maybe it looks like he isn't quite ready for yet? Or does he go out on loan again and have a similar experience? Because he has already had three loans. He's played loads of games in League Two and League One, as you mentioned. Would even more games in League One give him that much opportunity for development? Obviously, that's the question that Ben Napa has to answer this summer. But in the short term, I don't think he's likely to displace George Long or Angus Gunn in terms of that first team setup. But equally, it sounds like Roberts does want to have a bit of a closer look at him. And right now, it's definitely not a Ken Abo situation where they're trying to get him back in and send him back out on loan as quickly as possible. He's clearly someone who they feel is talented and who they want to actually get a closer assessment and a better assessment of whether he's close enough to the first team. And obviously Roberts is going to do a bit of that. I'm sure Johannes is going to do a little bit of that behind the scenes as well. But for me, the real interesting time around Reyes is in the summer and what they do with him, because it feels to me like it's a little bit in between the two options that that Ben Napa has for his future. And it'll be interesting to see which way he goes on that one.
Yeah, I suppose just staying on sort of the fringes, Paddy, maybe the likes of Jonathan Tomkinson, Jaden Warner, if there was an option, an opportunity to shift them on this January, do you think that's something that the club would be looking to do? I mean, neither of them seem to be in the plans, both out of contract this summer now coming. I saw a few links yesterday with Tomkinson and a couple of clubs in League Two, I think Swindon and Bradford. Are those two that you could see depart maybe this January?
Well, Tomkinson to Bradford, I mean, he was there last season, wasn't he? I'm very surprised with him because, again, you know, in the similar vibe, we're talking about Abo and not a huge amount of minutes. While initially had to bide his time at Valley Parade, it looked like he got himself in and was playing regularly. And you know, from a distance, seemed to be, you know, I think the manager there was, I forget his name now, but the former Coventry Preston fullback, wasn't it? Graham Alexander. Yeah, and he was talking him up in a big way. So I don't quite know what happened there. Even if he came back from Bradford and they didn't want him again, although those fresh reports suggest that they would be open to it. But why in the summer? And, you know, I remember actually now thinking about it towards the end of the summer window that there was talk of loan interest in him. And for whatever reason, that didn't materialise. And sadly, if you bring Warner into the equation, those two are surplus to requirements. Johannes looked certainly at Tomkinson in a pre-season, as he did a lot of the younger players. And then decision was made. You know, there was the ones like Forsyth who fell the right side of the line, Elliot Miles maybe to an extent as well. And they have been in and around the first team picture. And sadly, Tomkinson and Warner filed into the opposite category, which is particularly with their contractual status, which is running down now, but nowhere near it. Even when Norwich had those periods of, you know, almost who can we fill a bench with, those two or three games, sort of September, October time, they didn't go to Tomkinson or Warner. So, yeah, no, those two for their own, purely for own careers now, need to get out, need to be playing football, need to find other clubs, I think. So, yes, I think there's a little sense maybe Warner might have picked up an injury because there was interest from the Scottish Premiership by all accounts this month, but that might scupper that a little bit. But the reality is if it's not this window they move on, I could definitely see them moving on. If I'm not, I'd have to go back and check the contractual status. Are they 25? I think they might be, those two. So if they are, then, you know, effectively, in a very similar fashion, albeit at different ends of the sort of experience spectrum. It's the same as Barnes. It's the same as Hanley for me, same as Fashnacht, which is players who are going to be out of contract this summer. They're not part of it. Go and get yourself other clubs.
Yeah, they're both 25. So, yeah, it's one of those. You can imagine there's not going to be a route where Norwich go and give them a new contract. So, probably feels that they'll both part ways at some point in the next 6 months. We'll dip into a few of these comments and questions before we talk a little bit about the Brighton game coming up. We've got a question here from Sam on YouTube saying, will there be any signings for the under-21s? I mean, that's obviously an area where Norwich have signed quite a few players down recent transfer windows. Sam, have you sort of heard anything that means Norwich will be trying to work sort of with their development squad in terms of signings moving forward in this window?
Not in terms of specifics, but it's the sort of situation where they'll probably be constantly working on it. And obviously, we know the depths that these scouting departments go into. So I'm sure they've got a list of names, and if someone does come up, then they'll be interested in doing that. But obviously, there isn't the same level of focus on results at that level as there is at senior level. So it's not one where Norwich are probably desperate to go out and sign someone to really help with results in the short term. I think the situation I probably would keep an eye out for is the one actually we've just been discussing in terms of Tomkinson and Warner and those sorts of players. If they do leave the club, you look at sort of the depth in that under 21 team. And to be honest, they'd either need to promote somebody from the under 18s, which would be quite a big jump, or they would need to go and replace them with people who, first of all, they obviously believe can develop in the future, but also who can actually fill those spots in that team, because there isn't a lot of depth in Ollie Lee's group at the moment. And if, you know, somebody like Tomkinson or Warner were to go, I think defensively they would have spots that maybe they would need to fill, and other areas of the pitch that they might need a little bit more depth in. But obviously, you know, as I mentioned, it's not quite so short-term focused at that level, and they won't be desperate to go and sign anyone just to sort of help them out for the rest of the season. But obviously, it's a group that I think we'd all agree probably isn't where they want it to be in terms of the number of players who could step up to first team level in the near future. So I think that academy pipeline is something that Napa will be working on, not only internally and in terms of those sort of development related triggers, but also in terms of recruitment. I'm sure he's looking at players who right now will, you know, won't be too expensive and maybe aren't quite there yet, but who they maybe have a little bit more belief in terms of their ability to go on and develop and get into the first team. Because it feels like right now there isn't probably the level of quality in that under 21s team that there might have been 2 or 3 years ago.
Indeed. There's a few people asking around the goalkeeper situation. Paddy saying, Kieran here saying, I'm surprised there's no talk of a goalkeeper addition, considering the presumed lack of contract talks with Gunn. Hannah on YouTube saying, if Gunn leaves on a free, where will he go? Well, obviously, he has the option now to start speaking to clubs overseas. So, I mean, him and his representatives, you'd imagine, will be sort of planning for his future, because it doesn't feel like there's going to be a route where Norwich try and resolve that and maintain him in the Carrow building. So, in terms of the goalkeeper situation, I know it was sort of something that was mentioned at the start of the window that Norwich might be interested in doing some business in. Has that changed in sort of recent weeks?
No, if anything, it's probably gone onto the back burner a degree, because I think to tie those two things together, the Gunn situation and obviously looking for keepers, and we know that because there was links to the Norwegian lad Selvig, he was one that, again, on a recruitment scrape, they would have been aware of. But I think he's, if not already, I think he's imminently going to be joining Udinese in Serie A. So that was a non-starter, that guy. And I think, to be fair to Norwich, I think they decided as well that in terms of the keeper profile, that they're going to pivot more towards the homegrown and cast their net more domestically. But the bottom line is, Angus Gunn will remain Norwich's number one for the remainder of this season. So it's probably a difficult sell to go and hypothetically to a keeper who's playing regularly in League One, we'll say, now and say, right, we like you, you're our number one down the line. Can you come in now in January and sit behind Angus Gunn for 6 months? I don't think necessarily there's too many keepers who would willingly almost put their season on hold here and now. So that's the situation. That's the probably difficult element to this, is that I think the reality is now Angus Gunn will be departing. He will no longer be Norwich's number one from next season. But to actually shift the plates in here and now while he's still going to be here for the next 6 months is not an easy thing to do. So, and that's even before you get into domestic price tags, as we know, for players are always, you know, slightly more inflated than if you try shopping in the overseas market. So again, we know January as an availability pool is far more limited than the summer. So it does make more sense for them to press a button, as it were, on the summer in terms of the keeper. I mean, they've probably done the work. They've probably identified now. I was told they had two homegrown keepers in mind. So the actual work is done in terms up to and then going and getting the deals done. But, you know, if you're fairly confident you can get one or two of those over the line in the summer, then I think they will park that until the summer. With Angus Gunn, yeah, you're right, Adam. Him and his representatives are now freely available to enter into negotiations with non-English clubs. And by all accounts, he does have some interest from, I think I was told, Spain, Italy. I mean, maybe even Germany, but certainly overseas clubs are looking at Angus Gunn. So that'll be an interesting one, where he decides his future is best served. But the reality is it won't be at Norwich. That is quite clear, because if you wanted to keep that guy, do you get to a point where you haven't any active contract talks on the table when he's now available or his representatives are able to engage with other clubs? That makes no sense whatsoever. Certainly not in terms of the forensic longer-term planning that Napa and Torup as well want to build this project around. So, yeah, that's definitive to me. Angus Gunn will not be Norwich's number one beyond the end of the season. But in the shorter term, he will remain the number one. So that, I think, is probably going to have an impact in terms of doing something in this window, because there's no point going out and just getting a body. You know, they've recalled Reyes. They've got George Long. Archimedes in the ecosystem as well. It's not that they need to bring in a keeper purely for another body. They actually need to bring in Angus Gunn's replacement. And as I say, that at the moment is going to be a keeper who's probably playing quite regularly elsewhere in England. So for that reason, I think, I think the groundwork has gone in. I think they've identified the players that they potentially want. And, for me, I think very early on in the summer window, you would see Norwich unveiling Angus Gunn's replacement.
Yeah, certainly one to keep ears to the ground too in terms of Norwich's search for a goalkeeper. City chat saying, other than Slimani and Jurasek, are there any other transfer rumours of any weight? I mean, that probably links back to Jamie's points here. Any update on Tyler Bindon? And I think that's Charlie Savage. I think we can say with fairly, matter of certainty, Sam, that those two players are not, those individuals are not arriving at Carrow Road this January.
Yeah, as far as what's sort of in the ether at the moment and what people are aware of, I think, Jurasek to me, obviously Samane, I think was mentioned as well. They're the ones that Norwich are concentrated on at the moment. And obviously, as always, Ben Napper will have his fingers in other pies. But in terms of what's advanced, what's, involved with tangible progress, it doesn't feel like there are really any other names around. And yeah, I'd put those two probably in that department as well. I think whenever you see names with four or five clubs linked at a time, that's when you probably know it's sort of maybe agent related, and there are people trying to throw out as many clubs as possible and see what sticks, just to sort of get people's names out there. And that doesn't mean that either of those players aren't talented, and I think they've both done fairly well recently from my limited research. But yeah, in terms of for Norwich, I think Jurasek is the only one that I think really is out in the public domain that we feel is really at any sort of advanced stage and that there is tangible progress on. Not much else, unfortunately, to report or to confirm at this moment.
Yeah, I think with that, we've probably covered most of the transfer stories, unless you boys can think of anything else that we've missed. But a question here from Jay Paddy, which, of course, we're still awaiting the news on. Any news on Borja Sainz and, of course, this impending FA charge, which, of course, I think he had till Tuesday to respond to. It's now Thursday. Just gone half one. We're yet to hear anything. Have you got anything you can bring us on that situation and how Norwich have responded to that?
I'm doing a Sky Sports thing here and checking my phone, but for the very latest. But I did check about an hour before within the hour before we recorded, and the expectation is that the confirmation will come through today at some point. That's the club's expectation. And obviously, if that is the case, then I think it's safe to say that Norwich is, because obviously the timeline of this was the charge came in back in the last week. Norwich had until Tuesday to respond with their observations. That clearly happened. And my reading of it is that it's more those observations were kind of not contesting the charge, but maybe trying to seek mitigation and maybe try and lower the potential sanction, because as it stands, it's a, it's a 6-game tariff. Now, whether they'll succeed in that endeavour or not, we'll probably find out in the coming hours. But the reality is, I think maybe by close of play today, Borja Sainz will be sitting out a considerable number of games coming up for Norwich, which is, not an ideal situation, to put it mildly. And I think off the back of it, given the nature of the charge and the incident, I'd imagine either the club or Borja himself will probably put something out and communicate something as well around that. But obviously, clearly, they need to wait until the decision is communicated to them from the FA, which as of lunchtime hadn't happened.
Indeed, which I suppose means that this cup game has probably come at a good time. Obviously, they've brought Lewis Dobbin in. You'd imagine he'll be starting this game against Brighton. I mean, Sam, we'll talk a little bit about this game now. I mean, I know Brighton have sort of had a bit of an injury update on their situation. I think João Pedro's out. Lewis Dunk looks like he's going to be unavailable. So they look a little bit depleted heading to Carrow Road. What sort of opportunity does this, I suppose, provide for Norwich and some of these players that are on the fringes, the likes of Forson, who, of course, hasn't really seen much football up until last week. He'd been out of the match day or not featured for seven games off the bench, comes on. Dramatic impact. You'd imagine he's going to be in line for a start tomorrow. So what sort of opportunity, I suppose, or Saturday, what opportunities does this provide for those sort of individuals?
Yeah, a big one, really. And I think it is one that probably is more about individuals, to be honest, than about the collective, especially given the fact that obviously very, very few people are expecting Norwich to win the FA Cup this season. So, yeah, I think those players that you highlighted, Forson in particular, I mean, it's absolutely perfect timing for him, really, to produce a moment like that and then have a game where he probably will get a chance to play for an extended period with that newfound confidence that he'll have from those goals. Also the likes of, yeah, Dobbin, like you mentioned, the fact that he now probably does smell a bit of an opportunity with that likely incoming Scythe ban. Even like a Hanley at the back, if you look at sort of his career more broadly, does this come at quite a good time for him to show potential suitors the quality that he's got and why they should be signing him and giving him a chance this month? You know, there are a number of storylines in there, really, and players who will want to make their mark going forward and players who probably needed it at this time. And I think especially now that Norwich just feel like they're getting some of those injured players back and the fitness situation just feels like it's starting to calm down a little bit, a game where they can rest some of their key players who have had a lot of game time in recent weeks, as well as start to bed back in some of those key players who are returning from injury, you know, the likes of Josh Sargent and Gabriel Forsyth. I think it actually does come at the perfect time for Norwich. And although, as I said, you know, I don't think it's up there in Norwich's priorities this season, trying to go as far as they can in the FA Cup. And although it does look like quite a difficult task, no matter what team Brighton field, I think it is an opportunity for some of those individuals and just for that sort of squad building and getting everyone to the perfect place going into what is quite a tough run of championship games coming up. So, yeah, I think Torrett will be grateful for this opportunity. He'll be pleased that he can do that. And equally, it's a little bit of a free hit because nobody's really expecting Norwich to do anything miraculous against Brighton. And those players can go out and play freely. But in front of a crowd that will probably be a little bit different to the traditional league sort of season ticket holding crowd, you'd hope that they can go and produce quite a good performance. And even if they don't come through the tie, that they can show themselves at their best and some of those players can push. Because after all, although, you know, it will be a headache for Torup if he has to make that decision, I'm sure it's a headache that he'd rather have than not have. And yeah, it is quite a big opportunity for some of those players.
It is indeed, Jeff, and referencing all the players that Brighton have unavailable, some pretty good, you know, quality individuals there. So I suppose with that, Paddy, how do you see Johannes Ovtorp, Norwich approaching this? How many changes do you think he might make? Obviously, there's a few people in the comments sort of asking, could you see Hanley starting on Saturday? There's a question as well around Archie Mayer. Do you think he'll be given an opportunity? Feels more likely probably that it will be George Long. How much rotation, I suppose, are you expecting within this Norwich group for this game?
Yeah, I mean, well, the centre back one, it to me, it would make more sense to go with Hills because, as you know, as we know, I mean, he's clearly he's the future, and Hanley, sadly for him anyway, is the past in terms of Norwich. So I personally think, you know, that would be a perfect opportunity to get Brad Hills in there. He had that illness related element. Just trying to read what Roy Arf is saying there. Do we see Hanley starting over Hills? Nah. Yeah, no, I don't see that scenario at all. So Hills, yeah, I could see him. I mean, in terms of the number of changes, you know, they have had a very hectic festive period, haven't they? And those two tough games coming up, Sheffield and Leeds. Sargent, you know, you can get some minutes into a new player there in the sense of somebody who hasn't been involved. Yeah, he'll change up the keeper. Does he go Mayer? Well, he went Long in the League Cup, didn't he? Let's be honest. So you would think he would go with Long again, I think. if that's where his head's at in terms of changing up the keeper. And then for me, it's like, who are the players for those two Yorkshire League games are too important that you can't risk? And maybe Nunes is in that category, maybe the mayor. But then the flip side with Kenny is he had 8 games kicking his heels through suspension, so maybe he needs to tick over again. So, you know, it's quite a fluid one, that this selection. I think we'd see Dobbin, yeah. Cernach has looked very tired. Do you give him a bit of a breather, play on L maybe from the start? So, you know, we'll obviously speak to Yanis tomorrow. I think it's 1:30, isn't it? It's scheduled down at Colney. But if we got to Saturday, 2:00, the team news dropped and we were talking 5 or 6 changes from Coventry, I wouldn't be surprised by that, because I think while he'll profess that, of course, we want to keep momentum going, we want to progress, we want the scalp of a Premier League club, we want to be in the hat for the 4th round, all of that is true. We all know that there are far more important games are down the track at Sheffield and Leeds. And so with that in mind, I think you have to err on the side of caution. And any of you big players who've had a lot of miles on the clock maybe through this period, just give them a rest, give them a breather. And so, yeah, I'd probably say around about 5 or 6. I'll bowl that back to you two. How many changes could you think we'd see numbers-wise?
Yeah, I'm probably with you. I'm trying to think. The midfield's obviously a little bit difficult given the relative lack of numbers in that department at the moment. But I suppose the fact that Kenny's not played a lot of football with the amount of bans he's had in recent times, you'd imagine that he'll retain his place. Forson obviously feels a pretty obvious one to come in. Dobbin, as you mentioned, you'd expect him to start. Onel's obviously been a bit in and out of the team, but you'd imagine he'll get the opportunity through the middle. I think Sargent, obviously off the bench, if you can get him 10, 20 minutes at the end of the game, will be a huge boost moving forwards. So, yeah, I can see, yeah, certainly in the centre-back position as well. Obviously, Cordoba, Hills, feels like both of those could do with some minutes. So, yeah, I suppose right-back, Stacey as well. You know, he's obviously been a bit interchangeable with Callum Fisher in recent times. So, I'd imagine maybe he might get an opportunity. Left-back's obviously a little bit more difficult because, you know, Callum Dawes played a lot of minutes so far this season. Krizene has played a lot of games recently, but, you know, I think a good opportunity for him to try and retain his place against a Premier League opposition. Yeah, Sam, can you sort of add anything to what us two have already said?
Yeah, I think when you add it all up, I'm probably thinking 8 changes, actually, because, as you mentioned, the left-back situation is a little bit complicated. So it may well be Krizene there. And then in the midfield, Forson is the only change that really, I think, Torup can make, unless I'm forgetting anyone big. Feels like it will be McLean and then someone else, maybe Marcondes, given that he got the rest in the, was it the QPR game? But aside from that, I think probably Torup will actually make as many changes as he can. And I think if you look at all of those positions, probably 8. I suppose there is a bit of a discussion about the right wing position, because if you have Hernandez starting over Cernat's up front, then it's only Cade Gordon who's really available on that right. And I suppose he doesn't play into those sort of long-term ambitions as much as everyone else, given he hasn't had much game time and he is obviously on loan rather than being a permanent Norwich player. But I just think, yeah, in terms of load and the amount of minutes that some of those players have played, Torup will probably make as many changes as he can. And I think if you add that up, it's 8. So that's how many changes I'd guess if I had to pick a number.
Yeah, a couple of late questions. I think as Paddy said, press conference tomorrow, 1:30 down at Colney. So, of course, we'll be down there. Full press conference will be on our YouTube channel tomorrow afternoon. So keep it locked here to hear everything Torup has to say. And one that I thought I might throw to both of you boys, has Onel been given a new contract? Paddy, I think the sort of last we heard is that maybe there's been no discussions on that situation. I think it's sort of been thrown a little bit onto social media this week, people kind of debating whether Norwich should do him as one of these kind of players they try and offer a new contract in the summer. Where do you stand on that? How do you see the club approaching that situation?
Well, it's definitely one we need to bowl at Yanis tomorrow, I think, because that is a hot topic over the recent few days. Was it 3 assists, I think, over the festive period? So, which has always been, you know, the charge levelled at him, goals and assists, his numbers don't stack up. And it just reinforces for me that obviously he may end up starting on Saturday just through needs must, but his impact in this group is coming off the bench. It is final quarters of games, tired defences, stretching defences. We saw the harassment he did for that Joel Latoubière's, turnover for that second force and the winner. He just spreads, you know, panic. And as Yanis says, it's like chaos, I think is the word he's used. There's chaos unfolds when he's on the pitch. Maybe not everybody, not even the man himself knows what's about to happen, but something will happen. So that's in the here and now. But, you know, I don't think there'll be any sentiment in terms of Napa and Torrop looking at it and it gets to the summer and whether you give them another deal, even though there would be a lot of sentimentality behind a lot of the fan base in maybe wanting to keep him because, you know, he is such a popular figure. He clearly loves the club. He loves the area. You know, he's one of those I could see actually still post-playing, still being in and around Norfolk. I could see him making his life here, as many others have done before him. But is that enough really for Napa and Torrop to, with a hard-headed look at it, think at his age, you know, we could give him another 2 or 3 years? So I'm not sure really in terms of the contract status. But the beauty of it is he's got pretty much the second half of a season to almost take that decision out of their hands and make it the point that, well, it's not a debate. You have to give me a new deal because look at what I'm still producing, even if it is in these cameo situations. So he's kind of set his stall out now over the festive period. But, and again, this is a charge that's been levelled at him. Can he consistently tick over those assists, chip in with goals when he's called upon, change games, affect games in a positive fashion? And if he puts a half a season's block of work of that nature together, then for me, it probably does tip towards you would, because I don't think the finances around it would be that challenging and that there wouldn't be a willingness from all parties and all sides to make something happen. But he needs to prove on the pitch that he has something to offer still. And it's not enough just to say, well, he's had a good festive period and he's impacted two or three games in a positive fashion. We need to see that over the remainder of this season. And then who knows? Because Johannes has been pretty clear. Well, the main thrust of what they're trying to do now in terms of overhaul the squad is lower the age profile, younger players that they can develop and then sell on. But there is still a place for experience. There is still a place for a Shane Duffy. There is still a place for, you know, Kenny McLean, you could argue, would fall into that bracket now moving forward. These type of players, you need that, who've been around the block and can guide some of the younger players and are just good professionals and good habits in and around the group. So I wouldn't knock it on the head completely, but I think at this stage he would have a lot of work to do still to get a new deal.
Would you agree with that, Sam?
I would just say he's got that year option, hasn't he, in the summer. So for me, it's probably a little bit easier for him to prove himself in that sense rather than someone who is completely out of contract and who they would need to agree a new deal on and with all of those new terms and new wages and everything like that. I think if he does stay, then it would make sense for it to be with that year extension and then see if he can prove himself next season as well. But right now, I think they've got a bit of time to think about it. Obviously, there are other factors that they'll be considering. For example, this winger that they want to bring in, let's say it is Jurasek, probably his performances over the next few months might help them decide whether he's ready to completely replace Hernandez next season and whether they've actually got that wide option and they don't need that cover from Hernandez there. I suppose they could look into the summer and consider whether they want to buy another winger. So I think there are a few factors playing into it that probably will unfold over the next few months. But knowing Hernandez and how much he loves this club and how much he'll want to stay here, I think it probably makes sense that they do things that way and see if he can continue to prove himself. But one thing's for sure, and that's that if he does carry on the performances that he produced over the festive period, like Paddy said, the decision will be taken out of Ben Napper and Johannes Hoftorup's hands. So, yeah, I think still time to make a decision on that one. But for me, the fact that they have got that option rather than needing to negotiate a totally new contract means that he maybe doesn't have to prove himself quite to the same extent that maybe some others would have to.
Indeed, I think it's probably got to that point. Score prediction time ahead of this cup game. Obviously, a little bit difficult in that we don't really know the two sides that are going to be fielded by either team, how strong they're going to go. I mean, even the Brighton journalist that spoke to Connie yesterday was saying about, you know, he was not really sure how Brighton approached this game. So with all that context, how do you see it unfolding at Carrow Road on Saturday, Paddy?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's done his press today, Hursler, and João Pedro's out, isn't he? Who's a big miss for them. So, and I know they haven't won in eight, but they've drawn six of those. And prior to that, he'd had a very good start. He's obviously this highly rated young coach who came in from São Paulo, wasn't it? I think I've got my coaching paths right. So I think I think they will be, irrespective of who they can dip into. They've got a Premier League squad, so you know their replacements are going to be considerably stronger than Norwich's. You would contend. So I could see them edging it, maybe 2-1. Obviously, it's got to be settled on the day, hasn't it? No replays now, so maybe does that include extra time? It doesn't go straight to penalties, does it?
I don't know. I'd have to double check that. To be fair, since they've scrapped replays, I've not kind of. I know Carabao Cup is straight to penalties, I believe.
Yeah. Well, if it is extra, I could see it going extra time, but then maybe Brighton, you know, just edging it 2-1 for me. But yeah, but still, you know, it could be two very good, entertaining, pleasing on the eye side. So I'm looking forward to a good game of football. Yeah,
Sam, how do you see it?
I think it does go to extra time, having just looked it up. But I'm not feeling quite as optimistic as Paddy in terms of the likelihood of Norwich getting there. I think it probably will be quite a comfortable afternoon for Brighton, to be honest. I think Norwich can produce a pretty good performance, but what we've seen so often as people who've watched Norwich City and followed Norwich City over the last few years is that cutting edge is just, it's so much better in the Premier League than it is in the Championship. And I think when you consider the number of changes that Norwich are going to probably make, I'm not sure they'll quite have the quality to finish off those good moments as well as Brighton will. And even though I actually think, yeah, they probably can go toe-to-toe with them for much of the game, for me, it screams 3-0 and a comfortable win for Brighton, who are probably even better than the Premier League table currently shows. They're a very good team, especially under Hertzler, and actually a bit of an example of probably the sort of team that Norwich want to be over the next sort of the next few years. And yeah, I think it's going to be a tricky one. And as much as I'd love to be as optimistic as Paddy is, I think they will struggle. And I will say 3-0 Brighton, unfortunately. What about you, Adam? Are you feeling more optimistic than that? Hopefully you are, just to send people away a bit happier.
Yeah, I think given Norwich just showing against Palace, I know they lost 4-0 on that night, but I felt generally they played pretty well and, you know, almost fell a little bit short in different departments on that particular occasion. But at home, from the sounds of it, they've got a pretty decent crowd turning up on Saturday. I think those individuals, the likes of Forson, the likes of Dobbin, it's an opportunity to try and showcase, I suppose, that their sort of qualities to try and break through into the first team for those couple of big Championship games on the road coming, you know, quickly round the corner. So for that reason, I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic. Going to go for, I think, 1-1 draw after full time and extra time, and then Norwich to nick it on penalties. So that will be a little bit of drama, which will be quite enjoyable. I mean, a little bit more of a later night for us in terms of content, but it'll be worth it if Norwich were to get a win on penalties. So, and George Long, I suppose, you know, that, I mean, he's had a little bit of an opportunity with saving a penalty already this season. So maybe he can recapture that on a big occasion, on the big, you know, big stage in the FA Cup third round at Carrow Road. So, late one actually, Dubai Canary, it's Gordon's day. And that's something that I forgot, to be fair. I haven't really thought about that situation.
Well, I mean, it will completely depend on game time, won't it, ultimately? Because I think Liverpool would probably put their foot down and say, you know, a bit like the reverse from a Norwich perspective to Ken Abbo. You know, you've, as a parent club, entrusted a very highly rated young player to another club where you expected him to get minutes. That hasn't happened, really, if you look at it. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday was the one for me. I think, you know, that was in the midst of that downturn, but he's got a start that night and he got hooked pretty early on. Was it in the second half at Hillsborough? And, you know, obviously a game that completely ran away from him. And he had this sad soap because he basically went off on the far side at Hillsborough and he had just had to troop round the pitch. But it was a bit of a metaphor for me. I thought that was maybe the moment, sliding doors, where maybe Johannes thought, no, not quite for me, I don't think. So with that in mind, there is the homegrown element to him. That might be in the equation. But I could see a scenario where Liverpool get to the point, if things don't change between now and the end of Jan, it's probably better for him to come back to Liverpool and then go out again. So, yeah, nothing definitive on that, because I think Johannes, when he was asked, said, no, all things are still in play and there's still time for him to maybe prove himself. But this is the natural break clause, isn't it? So, you know, I would think at the moment the odds are on him returning to Liverpool, I think.
Yeah, I did quite enjoy his reaction to the first goal and trying to get them to regroup and go again to try and get the winner on Saturday. So for that reason, I think, you know, there'll be a few Norwich fans that maybe have changed their views on him slightly. I think with that, we've been going for over an hour now. Have we got any other late business that you guys can think of? If not, I think we'll round it off. Shaking heads. So I think we're good. With that, of course, all the usual content coming your way across our channels. Terrace Talk's already up. I know that Connor's speaking to an ex-Canary, an ex-Brighton midfielder this afternoon, so there might be some potential stories around that, a little bit of insight ahead of this game. Of course, we'll have all the usual pre-match press conference duties tomorrow afternoon at Colney, 1:30 kickoff. So, of course, we'll have all the usual updates across our channels. The full press conference will be up tomorrow night as well. Of course, we'll all be at Carrow Road on Saturday for that game. Team News Live at 2 p.m. Intrigued to see how Norwich approach it. Of course, we'll bring you all that. And, of course, as this show's been dedicated to the Window Watch and the transfer situation, the Pink and Plus app and our digital subscription is the place to go for all the latest breaking news out of Norwich City. We have every little beat of Norwich covered on there. So come and join us on that journey. I think plenty of you took advantage of our offer over the Christmas and festive period. So, we appreciate all those that have joined us on that journey. If you want a pretty good way to keep it, you know, your eyes and ears all across Norwich City, then we're the place to be this January. So with that, we're going to sign off. Of course, we'll see you at Carrow Road on Saturday. Hopefully Norwich can embrace the magic of the FA Cup and try and secure a fourth round place.